I titled it The Lost Art, because the giving thanks is becoming a lost art, in my opinion. I think you would agree with me on that. We are living in a selfish, me-first society. And we are so used to, that a lot of times, including us, including the born-again Christians, we are so used to trying to get what we want, when we want, how we want, right on the spot, preferably. And somehow we take for granted for everything that we get from the Lord. And in His faithfulness, His kindness, and His goodness. Just because we are Christians, we think that He should provide all that for us. Does He do that because He obligated to us? No, He does that because He's good God. You agree? See, as a result, we often, get this guys, we often forfeit the joy that because we've forgotten how to be thankful to the Lord. When was the last time, be honest with yourself, I have to ask myself, when was the last time you got on your knees, whether you're spiritually or physically, just to thank Him without long list of the prayer. Just thank Him. When was the last time? And when was the last time you kind of saw somebody doing that? I don't remember I see somebody doing that because I usually don't see people. I don't go poke around in people's lives. I did that. I was writing my journal, prayer journal. I didn't ask for anything for change. I just thanked the Lord some time ago. Time to time, we need to do that kind of thing. It's easy to understand why the world doesn't see much joy in Christianity. Because we quit practicing the art of thanksgiving, without it, joy will remain. It's a rather obscure commodity. But then again, it's not just limited to the people, born-again Christian in America, but it started from the beginning, Adam and Eve. If they were truly thankful, listen to me, if they are truly thankful to the Lord, Eve too would not deal with the serpent from the day one. And she would not twist God's word to accommodate what she wants. A couple days ago, Our Daily Bread contained a quote from the British author Gladys Stern. She once said, "Silent gratitude is much use to anyone." I like that. Silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone. In other words, vocalize it, physicalize it. The whole reason for the saying thanks is to let the giver of the gift know how much you appreciate their gift, whether it's a small or big, important or not important. What about the like a Sunday morning as the people lived? Sometimes Sunday school children come out, they give me a piece of paper and I mean it should be in the New York Metropolitan Museum because I cannot recognize what that is. And it's, what is it? And it's you. Wow. Okay. Thank you. A child is giving it to me because to him or to her, it's a picture. He thought about me. I should honor that. I should thank him for it. I heard a pastor who told me once that he does not tell his church congregation, church volunteers, he doesn't thank them. Because he said, this is what he said, he doesn't want to rob their blessing in heaven. I thought, no, that's not correct theology. Because I think that if he understands that particular text correctly, it's about motive. It's not about somebody's compliment. So when you, from now on, if you are kind of shy with giving compliment to the people and thanking other people, you know, I'm sure you've seen some people who you buy a lunch to them and then they never say thank you. What's up with that idea? Go to the chapter 17, verse 11 of the book of Luke, please. And we will pray. Heavenly Father, we should be grateful people, but we often are ungrateful. We should be more than thankful to you, but we often forget that we are the one who owe you everything, yet you owe us nothing. Remind us, as we remind our children and grandchildren what you say thank you. Remind us to thank you, not because you want to hear from us, because you deserve every bit of it. And let us thank one another and be grateful for having a fellowship in Jesus Christ, so that there are others, those unbelievers, may see the joy in our heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 of chapter 17. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, as he passed, that is Jesus, through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. If you notice that when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, he didn't say, you are healed. Just go. And they were simply following his command. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. And he was Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not the ten cleansed? Were not the ten cleansed? Where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give the glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. As we learned about the gospel and the rest of the New Testament, we find that more and more Samaritans and Jews don't get along. We know that, right? But the misery loves company, so these 10 of them, outcasts, and they're probably dwelling together without any problem. Originally, there were 10 lepers who lifted up their voice as Jesus entered into this area, and they begged Jesus to heal them. And Jesus commanded them to go. With a simple faith in Jesus Christ and the obedience to his command, they start to take off toward the priest. On the way there, they realize they've been healed. 9 of them went on to do wherever they wanted to go. Now they are the normal people, no longer unclean. But one of them returned. Now, one of them is the one who is not a Jewish person. Jesus says a foreigner. He's a half-breed Samaritan. The Jews shouldn't have known better. But they didn't come back to thank Jesus. A few days ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and I said, regarding the giving thanks to the Lord for his kindness and faithfulness to all of us, I said, when the things go well in our lives, somehow we have a tendency to think that it is us, our accomplishment, and we think that we should take credit for it. When the things go haywire and everything is bad, and it doesn't go, the things doesn't go the way we want, we have a tendency to blame, put the blame on God. Don't we do that? And we put the blame on God and because He allowing that to happen to us. And that even though we might be the cause of the consequences happening. Were there not 10 cleansed, asked Jesus, the recent census, there are about 7 billion people around the world. 7 billion people. Of course, I know that not every one of them is saved, obviously. Amongst Christian, only born-again Christian, whether they are Catholic or Protestant, don't think that they are not born-again Catholic. They are born-again Catholics. How many born-again Christians give thanks to the God and Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit every day? Very few. Why shouldn't we? Why don't we? We should give Him thanks for His crucifixion, His sacrifice, His atoning sacrifice every day. We are saved by His grace. The majority of population around the world is against Him. They hate Him, as a matter of fact. No one can say, I don't need God, I came to this world all by myself. Yet, he doesn't realize that his very life is depends on God's mercy. God could easily say, you are no more. Then his existence would be wiped away from God, from the face of the earth. And all of us owe him very existence of ourselves, whether we admit it or not. Since I'm talking about this, I think we should talk about another man who boasts about his accomplishment and did not acknowledge. The result of that came to him almost immediately. Go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 29, please. Daniel chapter 4, right after Ezekiel. By the way, just for those who like to have a Bible trivia, this is the only chapter in the New Old Testament that written by the non-Jew. This chapter was written by the King Nebuchadnezzar. Go down to verse 20. By the way, this picture, I found this from the internet. The Hanging Garden. I don't know how the hanging portion came, but it looks nice. The beautiful. It's part of the one of the seven wonders of the old ancient world, I guess. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he, that is King Nebuchadnezzar, was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from man, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like an oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of a man and gives it to whomever he chooses." Verse 33. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from man at grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven till his hair had grown like an eagle's feather and his nails like a bird's claw. Previously, God warned King Nebuchadnezzar about the year before this incident. King Nebuchadnezzar was warned by one of his wise counsel, Daniel, that he should humble himself and give glory to God for the accomplishment and the kingdom he had. A year passed by without an incident. King might have forgot that counsel. Or king might have said, well, obviously I'm too good for God to ignore. Just like, remember Jim Schweiger? Because I'm too important for God to stop me. Even though he was sinning against God, he thought he could get away. King Nebuchadnezzar forgot about the dream. Then one day he went up to the height of his palace and looked down into Babylon. According to the archaeologists, the thickness of wall is about 100 feet wide. That's the top of the wall. And they could raise four chariots breast to breast, and they can raise on top of the wall, and they can go all the way around the city of Babylon. Can you imagine? They didn't have a crane. They didn't have any modern-day equipment to build those things. Everything was done by the slave labor. Humanly speaking, he has everything to boast about. Basking in his own accomplishment, the word was still in his mouth, and God struck him. And his sanity left him, he became a madman, and he was acting like a madman, and he got put out of from his kingdom and palace. For 7 years, he acted like an animal. He lived in the field. His mind was filled with a mad delusion that he was a beast, and his hair grew, and his nail grew like a claw. It is very possible that America, it is very possible that America will come to the similar fate, I believe. We've been boasting about superpower top of the world. And look where we are now. Seems like every single terrorist group is declaring open season against America. Even France is looking down on America. That's bad. As a nation, we neglect giving thanks to God, and instead we boast in ourselves. God has patiently withheld the judgment, giving us a chance to repent, but his patience will not restrain judgment forever. I don't know if you caught the news, the recent incident between the Veterans Affairs Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Houston National Cemetery. Did you hear about that? For those who haven't heard, Houston National Cemetery forbid anyone speaking name of God or Jesus. You cannot even say to the one who lost a family member, you cannot say, even as a person, you cannot say, God bless you. This is the country we are living. And within 2 weeks, they got 500,000 emails. And VA finally backed out. And Houston National Cemetery decided not to pursue that anymore. When it comes to making prayer requests to the Lord, we are really quick. We cry out to God. But when it comes to giving thanks to the Lord, no. We often forget, we often neglect. Everything you have on your back, everything you eat, everything you possess, belongs to the Lord. And you may say, well, I don't have a whole lot. Whatever you have, the very breath you have, the heartbeat you have, belongs to the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 48, please. It reads, But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of the stripes shall be beaten with a few. For everyone whom to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Do you think America is qualified for this? You betcha. To whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. What does this say to us? In approaching God to ask for new blessing, we should never forget to return thanks for the many blessings we already received. Be thankful for what we already have, and then you ask. That's why the format of prayer the Lord taught us in the Lord's Prayer. By the way, in case you, I don't think any of us in this room, but Lord's Prayer is not some special super prayer that you just pull it out, so you recite it and everything will be done. No, Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we should use as a format. Start with the prayer and the praise. Start with the gratitude, the thanksgiving to God first, acknowledging Him first. Then followed by our prayer request. And as we think about the many answers to prayer we already received, our faith grows bolder and bolder. We are determined in depth of our soul that nothing is too hard for the Lord. You know, that's why I encourage you guys to keep the prayer journal. Write it down, the prayer request, and the other side, praise report. By doing so, but when you see all the things that God answered to you, your faith will grow bolder and bolder, bolder and deeper and deeper. Can I change the slide? Is it good? Here's a more important reason we ought to give thanks to the Lord. It is because as we remind ourselves of God's power and kindness and faithfulness to us through the years, it strengthens our faith. Giving thanks may not immediately lift us out of our circumstance, but it can lift us above them so that we are no longer under their control. Do you follow me on this? When we pray to the Lord, the situation may not change immediately, but it pulls us above their control. Let's practical be here. A sincere thank you, Lord, or thank you, Jesus, or thank you, Father. We got to have that thing on our lips. When we start to use heartfelt phrase like that, and it shows, and we can easily show our gratitude to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, spouse, and parents, children, friends, clerk in the shop, in the store, especially in like today, if there's any store that opens, they are not happy to be at workplace on Thanksgiving. So you show them gratitude for being there, even though you are the one who is paying their salary. You'll be surprised how appreciate that they will appreciate you. Three things to remember, please. Number one, I must realize that as a Christian, God is in control of all circumstances surrounding my life, both good and bad. He is in control. Romans 8:28. You guys know this by heart. Yes. Oops, sorry, my bad. Romans 8:28. If you haven't memorized this, I highly recommend you to memorize this. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Second thing to remember, can I change the slide? I must realize that God loves me and is always looking out for my benefit, both in this life and the life to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Third things for us to remember, I must realize that God is wiser than I am. He is always dealing with me for my best eternal good. Not now, not necessarily. I always want what's best for my immediate good. But what immediately seems good is not always eternally good. Last night I was watching news with Karen at 10 o'clock. There are a group of people who's been camping outside the Best Buy since 5 in the morning yesterday. I thought, don't you have a job? Don't you have a life? Go! So, guys, take time to give thanks to God for what He has done for you. Not just now, not just today, not just this week, not just this month, throughout the remainder of the year and the rest of your life on earth. Remember, for a Christian, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. Amen? Alright, on this afternoon, before you glue yourself in front of a TV to watch football games, before you overstuff yourself more than the bird you are about to have, remember who God is, what Jesus has done for you. So have a happy Thanksgiving and God bless you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your loving grace in Christ Jesus. We do not deserve you. We do not deserve your grace. Because you loved us first, you extend your grace and mercy toward us. Let that lost art of Thanksgiving be newfound, a refound Thanksgiving. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Sunday.